This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Gary Bolker alongside Dan Newkirk. Prairie State action coming your way tonight. Dan, this proves to be an interesting one, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it really does. With the Prairie State Conference being knotted up the way it is, this Nokomis versus Wood River game is huge for both teams. And with not enough wins and playoff points coming at premium, especially with the forfeit they have from the South MAC team, it's a must-win game for both teams.
And I think both teams are in a situation where if they would finish 5-4, chances are in this conference you're not going to have enough playoff points. Interestingly, East Dalton Wood River started off the season 0-3, played three tough games against three tough teams, losing to Breeze Central 12-6 in week one, lost to Civic Memorial 8-0 in week two. In week three, East Dalton Wood River was defeated by Madison 24-14. But just when you think things might be going very poorly for the Oilers, they really turned it around, and I think perhaps they would say that the turnaround game for them came in week four when they defeated the arch rival Alton Marquette 40-21. Since then, they have not lost, with victories over Dupo, and then last week they had the 62-8 victory over Pawnee, and then, of course, the victory over Kincaid 20-6 in week seven. So a team that was 0-3 now looking at a possible conference championship.
They really do, and they're trying to find a new identity. Running the ball is their identity, but losing Brody Newberry, their fullback who went for over 300 yards against Marquette, is going to be an adjustment for them. Now, I'm sure that with this gigantic offensive line they have up front, running the ball is still going to be the focus, but I'm very curious to see who the new feature back behind that group is.
Well, going to be hard to replace Newberry. As you said, he's had 13 touchdowns, 1,053 yards on the season, but he's on the sideline with a broken leg. The Redskins will be kicking off to the east. It's a low line drive kick, comes down on about the 25-yard line, scoots right through the would-be return man. It's picked up there by Ryan Dawson, and Dawson gets the ball out to about the 25-yard line, and there is where the Oilers will start.
We got really, Gary, a contrast uniforms as we look out at this. We got the black, all black uniforms with red numbers in Nokomis, and the all white uniforms and black numbers of Wood River.
I don't know about you, but I'm just happy that Wood River gave up those jerseys with the yellow jersey or with
the yellow numbers.
Last time I saw them, they were wearing those. It was a muddy field. Couldn't tell the numbers at all by the time the second quarter started.
We're going to get a good call tonight. We ought to be able to see these numbers great.
Kenny Beecham, a 5'10", 145 sophomore, is the quarterback as the Oilers will go out of the wing T. Sean McKee, the fullback, is going to get the handoff for the first carry, and he'll get the ball just about back to the line of scrimmage, and that's about all. It'll be a second 10 from the 25.
McKee replacing Newberry in the backfield following this great big offensive line. 6'11", 255, I'm sorry, 6'1", 255, 6'2", 250, 5'9", 230, 5'10", 250, and 6'7", and 330 pounds on the offensive line for Wood River. So that's a snowplow up front.
He'll send a man in motion this time and give the handoff to Ryan Dawson. Dawson's going to turn the corner. He'll find some daylight. He's going to get all the way out nearly to the 40-yard line. He'll be driven out of bounds there at about the 38-yard line. Gain of 13, first and 10, Oilers.
Coming out of the slot position, it reminds a lot of the wing tees that we've seen in the South Central Conference and we're all very familiar with, just a jet motion a la old Carlinville High School, and some great blocking outside, springing that 13-yard run.
Now they'll send a split receiver wide to the right side, and they'll go double wing with one back in the backfield. Now they'll put the man in motion. That's Reggie Newtall. Newtall's going to turn the corner and get hit right about the 40-yard line. One of the first Redskins coming up there on the tackle was that number 13 there?
I believe so.
All right.
I believe so. I believe that was Isaac Satterley.
There you go.
Isaac Satterley, just a freshman at 5'9", 135.
We'll give him a gain of one, call a second nine. Satterley was right there at the right place at the right time. Ball spotted on about the 40-yard line. Second and nine. Some young kids playing for both teams here this evening. Man in motion once again. They'll fake to the motion man and give it off to the fullback. That's Sean McKee, and McKee's going to go out to about the 45. But we've got a yellow flag on the green grass, and I think they're going to back the Oilers up.
Okay, Mike, the flag was thrown right around the line of scrimmage, which generally is going to be a holding call. No, I think they're...
Looks like a chop block.
Looks like a chop block. Goodness gracious. It's a call we don't see a lot in high school
football. Either that or he had his hand warmers in his pocket. Now they're going to call offsides on the offense. So we'll try that again. It'll back him up to about the 35-yard line. Instead of being second and 9, it'll be second and 14 for the Oilers. Each time... Beecham goes over to the sideline, gets the play call from the coach, comes back up to the huddle, and he'll give the play to the teammates in the huddle. As they will break the huddle. Curtis Hyde, the big 5'9", 230-pound center, clapping his hands as Beecham, ready for the handoff. He will go with a fake to the first man and give it to Reggie Newtall. Newtall was going to try to spin his way around the backside on the reverse action, but the Redskins did a good job of staying home there. Coming up on the tackle over there, was that Carlock?
Yeah, Keith Carlock, our saxophone player.
There you go.
In the national anthem, which was very unique, making the tackle.
Let's spot it down at the 32, call a third and still about 16 to go. Passing situation for most counts, but the Oilers, not much of a passing team. Only 14 attempts on the season for Beecham. Beecham is not going to pass here because he's going to be tackled in the backfield, as the Oilers could not get that one fired off as the defense of the Redskins comes firing through. Was that number 52 on that one?
Josh Restivo.
And Dylan Hayes comes in for the shot, and Hayes brings him back all the way down on about the 23-yard line, and it'll be punt time. So the Redskin defense, very impressive on their first outing. As they'll go into punt mode, will the Oilers, a little bit of contact there, but fumble on the punt, and coming down quickly for the Oilers was number 55, and that is Josh Franklin. He fumbles or recovers the fumble in Nokomis territory. So on the fumbled punt, it will go right back to the Oilers, and can't be making those kind of mistakes. I would say it's a bit of a wet night, but I don't believe the moisture had anything to do with that mistake.
No, I don't think so either. I think he got his eyes looking around. There's a lot of Wood River tacklers in the area, and I think he just took his eye off the ball at the last minute. And lost control of it.
Yeah, and as a defensive coordinator, you hate to have done such a good job defensively. They'll go right back to the big guy up the middle. And for the Oilers, that is number 42, Damian Weissman. Weissman, a 5'8", 180-pound junior. Nice run there down to the 40-yard line. Gain of about 6, going to bring up a second and 4.
Just a plethora of running backs out of this Wood River. As we talked about before, Brody Newberry out of the game. Well, I think the identity is going to be we're going to give the ball to as many guys as we possibly can and really start moving the ball around quite a bit.
They'll split an end out wide to the right and actually go what is double wing set. They will give the ball off to Reggie Newtall. Newtall's going to spin away from one tackler. He's going to go to the outside. He's heading down the sideline to the end zone, but all the way back here at the 40-yard line, there's a penalty flag that's thrown, and I think they'll bring that one back on a hold call against the Oilers.
I believe it was Damian Weissman who just had the good run on the last play, got his arms wrapped up around, and that really sprung the play. Our white hat official was right on top of it and made a pretty good call.
Newtall that time with a nice run to the outside. He made one little juke step into the left, then circled out to the right, got down the sideline. There was no catching him today. Keep track of Reggie Newtall, a 6-foot, 170-pound senior. Sprint ability, would we say?
Yes, absolutely. He looks a little frustrated. He's got his hands up a little bit. Come on, guys. But like I said, I don't think we've seen the last of Reggie. If he can keep his footing on this damp field, once he gets north and south, he's going to be difficult to catch.
And you did say damp field.
Damp field. It is. It is a little damp
from
out there.
From the 50-yard line, here we go. They're going to give the ball off to the big guy up the middle, Weissman again. And Damian is going to get minimal yardage there. He's going to be dropped right about at the line of scrimmage. Big number 64, Breston Brummett, comes up with a stop for no gain. Takes it to third and 14. Ball still resting at the 50-yard line. Underway in quarter number one. 7:25 and counting. Third down and 15. As the Oilers send a man in motion once again, they'll do that double handoff, the inside split. It does not fool the Redskins, who were there in force and waiting. And again, coming up on the stop was Dylan Hayes, as he was right there where he needed to be, and it should be punt time once again. However, you never know in this league at the 50-yard line. Will they punt or will they fake punt?
They've got three up guys just in front of the punter, so they would be set up. If one of the guys would catch the ball, they got a couple of blockers ahead of them.
And the Redskins are going to send two guys. It is a fake punt. Coming over to the near side is Ryan Dawson, and Dawson's just barely going to get back to the line of scrimmage. So the Oilers gambled, and they lost. It's going to be Redskin ball when we come back. You're listening to WSMI. And as we return to live action, Ryan Jansen on a first and 10 play gets across the 50-yard line, gaining four, brings up second and six for the Redskins. They'll now go to their tailback, as that was Adam Lyons, and Lyons going to pick up a couple of very tough yards. He'll get to the 46, so let's give him a gain of two, call it third and a long four.
What the Nokomis Redskins are looking at is a look across the line of scrimmage. The Oilers have a three-man front with five linebackers and then just three defense backs behind them, so very run-supported defense that they're facing.
Three big linemen, we might add, up there as well. Adam Lyons going to get the pitch. He's going to turn the corner and see if he can go for the first down. And tell you what, this man in the white hat doesn't like the yellow flag standing in his pocket tonight, does he?
No, he doesn't. Not.
Chop block. Going to be an illegal block against the Redskins. And the flag is resting at the 50-yard line, so they'll walk it off against NHS. And that's going to back them back to the 40-yard line. So in essence, it'll be a 6-yard penalty. So it's going to bring up a third and about 16.
That's a frustrating one for the Nokomis coaches. I'm not sure it was a block that even needed to be done, let alone below the waist.
Now the Redskins will send two wide receivers out to each side and put one man in motion. Rolling out is Tocetti. Tocetti has a receiver making the catch across the 50-yard line. Is number eight, a Mason Stewart, a 6'2", 160-pound senior. Problem was, as he made the catch, he immediately had to go to his knee to make that catch. So he's going to be down at the 49, and that's going to bring up a fourth and eight.
With the wet ball, I think we'll probably see a lot of those catches, Gary, where they're just really securing the ball and make sure that they have possession of it, because it's going to get a little bit slippery as the game goes on.
And the Redskins go with a hard count on fourth and eight, and they get the Oilers to jump offside, as that was Gavin Haynes who jumped off. And they're going to give him 5 yards, and it's going to bring up a fourth and short, but a good deal there to cut the distance in half. So they'll mark it at the 44. They're at the Wood River 44-yard line, fourth down and three. Would he dare try to get another hard count? From the I formation. Adam Lyons, the tailback. Ryan Jansen, the fullback. Jansen gets a call. He breaks through the line of scrimmage. He's got one guy to beat, and he's hogtied and brought down, but not until he gets all the way down to the 30-yard line. Ryan Dawson comes up with the tackle, but a big 14-yard gain there for Ryan Jansen, and a big first down for the Nokomis Redskins.
Great block up front by Derek Bell and Preston Brummett to really spring that. There was just nobody in a white jersey to make the tackle until 15 yards down the field.
They'll go back into that I formation and give it to the tailback. And it is Adam Lyons trying to go off that left side. He's finding the going very tough. Looks like they're going to spot him down at about the 27, maybe the 26-yard line. So we can give him a gain of about four, call it second and six. Lyons running out of that tailback formation, and Ryan Jansen, the fullback. Now Lyons is going to split over to a slot, as we'll go two wide receivers left, two wide receivers right, one telephone pole in the way. The light pole's in the way, but it doesn't get in the way of Ryan Jansen as he just keeps on churning, and he heads down close to a first down yardage. Let's see where they'll spot him. They're going to mark him right at the 20-yard line, and they're going to say that's enough for a Redskin first down. So the Redskins get a first down, and they're inside the 20.
That puts us inside the Seavers Equipment Red Zone, powered by Seavers. Score big with Case IH at Seavers Equipment. That's SeaversEquipment.com.
Going to be a sweep as they'll give the ball off on the handoff to Adam Lyons, and Lyons is going to be wrapped up by two or three Oilers. One of the first ones coming up there was Richard Stewart on the stop. Going to be a loss on the play of about three. Going to bring up a second and 13 from the 23. Good penetration there by the East Alton Wooderer defense as they came firing across. Stopped that sweep before it ever got started. Jansen, the single setback. It'll be a little fullback trap as he'll spin his way down and around and get inside the 20 down to about the 15, 16-yard line. Going to bring up a third down situation, third and still about six to go.
Very active, this offensive line for Nokomis. A lot of trapping, a lot of moving around. I think trying to, you know, counterbalance the size of the Wood River line, but so far having a lot of success with Jansen running the ball behind him.
Third and five from the 15. They'll go to the tailback, and he eludes one tackler, keeps right on going, and heads on down. And he is down into the end zone. That was Adam Lyons all the way down. Didn't make it into the end zone. He's down in the far corner where we can't see, but it looks like they're going to spot him down at about the five. First and goal, thanks to an outstanding run by Lyons. Oh, it was a touchdown. Let me check. Yep, they're lining up for the extra point, so I guess that would be. I thought he was in, but then I thought I saw the yard guy come and set up differently. However, we'll give him six in the extra point attempt coming up for the Redskins. Mason Sturt with a kick, and it's going to be blocked. And so with 2:29 to go here in the first quarter, it is the Redskins who come out with the first score of the day, as they lead this one 6-0. Back with the Nokomis kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Adam Lyons with our first score of the night, a 16-yard run, culminating a 10-play, 48-yard drive, for the Redskins, who open up a 7-0 lead here on the East Alton Wood River Oilers, as Sturt's point after was good. Now on the run back of the kickoff, nice job there by Reggie Newtall as he gets the ball out all the way near midfield. And so the Oilers, though trailing here 7-0, they're going to have good field position as they'll spot this one at, looks like it's going to be about the 48. From their own 48, the Oilers trailing now 7-0. They will head west with their possession.
Field position has been very favorable for the Oilers starting. This is the second time now they're going to have the ball around the 50-yard line to start a series. So Coach Heron, I'm sure, getting very impatient to find the end zone.
And the Comas, of course, they had good field position thanks to the unsuccessful fourth down attempt. On the run for East Alton Wood River on first down is Reggie Newtall. Newtall's going to get the ball up over midfield just barely. We'll give him a gain of two, and from the 50, call it second and eight.
Newtall lines up in more of a slot or wing position in this wing T variation with the shotgun.
Yeah, they
comes
call
in motion
him,
early. They now, call it wing T.
They call him wing, but with a split end, he's actually in a tight slot formation.
He really is. He really,
just off the tail of the tackles. Where
facing straight ahead, yeah, was a traditional wing T, angles in.
And now we'll go motion with the opposite way, and it's going to be on the carry. And that would be Ryan Dawson, and on the stop, a good tackle there. That was number seven for the Redskins, Trevor Wright, a 6'3", 175-pound senior. got hold him around the ankles, brought him down for a loss on the play, back to about the 48, so that's going to bring up a third and 10. Nice open field tackle there.
What was most impressive about that was Trevor Wright was double teamed by two receivers out here. He knifed through both those blockers to make that open field tackle. So really a great play by the senior.
Brings up a third and 10 for an Oiler team that seldom, if ever, passes. And now there's going to be a timeout on the field as Coach Gary Heron, not sure what he wants to call. We'll take a timeout as well. 1:02 to go here in the first quarter. 7-0, Nokomis with the lead. Wood River with the ball when we come back after these messages on WSMI. Thank you, David Jenkins, and we'll be expecting, of course, updates from him throughout the night. So if you're concerned about any and all games throughout Mid-Illinois, we'll have the updates as they become available to us. Going to be a toss sweep, and the ball is on the ground. It's like a ping pong ball bouncing around there. It's finally going to be recovered by the Oilers as Reggie Newtall, who fumbled it, was able to cover it, but not until it went all the way back to about the 42. So it should be punt time for the Oilers here. Last time they had the fake punt, that didn't turn out too well either, did it?
No, it did not. And interesting enough on that, they got really fortunate because Newtall lost control of the ball. One of the linemen, Adam Newberry, kind of kicked it back to him where he was on the ground. So very fortunate to be punting the ball here and not Nokomis taking over inside their own 50.
Lions and Stewart back to receive this punt. I don't think they're going to have a chance to run it back because it's going to go out of bounds down around the 20-yard line. That's what you call an effective punt. Not only did you flip the field, but you got it out of bounds so there was no run back. And so now the Nokomis Redskins, as they lead here 7-0, we're down to the final few seconds of the first quarter, 15 seconds showing on that clock. Ball will be spotted at the 20-yard line, and it'll be first and 10 for the Redskins. They have to make a switch. The Oilers got to punt their ball. The Redskins get to play offense with theirs. Out of the eye, go to the Redskins once again. To Seti, under center. He's going to hand off and go up the middle to Reggie Jansen. Jansen, the 5'10", 170-pound junior, gets the ball out to about the 25-yard line, going to be a gain of 5 yards on the play. It's going to bring up a second and 5, and that's going to bring our first quarter to an end here at Nokomis High School after one quarter of play. Nokomis, 6. Wood River, nothing. Back after these messages on WSMI. Gary Boker alongside Dan Newkirk. Dan, weather report. Looks like the rain has stopped now, hasn't it?
It's interesting to say that. Yes, it has stopped right now. I just got an update on my phone that just popped up as you said that rain starting around 7:41. So I'm not sure we are done with rain for the evening, but we're at least getting a reprieve from it right now.
As we begin second quarter action, it'll be Nokomis ball on their own 25, second and 5. Hand off up the middle, and I'll tell you what, the Redskins are doing a good job running right up the chute. Once again, it was Ryan Jansen just following that big offensive line and making some pretty good yardage there, and another first down.
So up front for the offensive line for Nokomis, we got Custer Cook, 5'11", 220-pound junior, Derek Bell, 5'9", 190 junior, Gavin Vincent, 6'3", 210-pound junior, Preston Brumman, 6'2", 275-pound sophomore, and Wyatt Dooley, a 5'10", 220-pound freshman, not a senior on the offensive line.
Oh, they'll go to the tailback, and he bobbles the ball. There's a flag being thrown. Let's see who they say has recovered the ball over there. It looks like the Redskins have recovered it, but we'll have to see what the penalty flag is, as it may go against the Oilers. They're kind of pounding their fist against their thigh boards. Personal foul against East Alton Wood River. So what looked like it may have had tragedy written all over it as the Redskins fumbled that handoff, now it's going to turn out pretty well. Not only will they maintain possession of the ball, but with the penalty, it's going to be marked all the way down close to midfield. Well, I think he's going to get right at midfield.
Right at it.
So we'll mark it at the 50 and give the Redskins a first and 10. They'll do it again, leading 6-0 here. Stewart's point after attempt on the first touchdown was blocked, and that's why we're sitting at a 6-0 score. Near midfield, the Redskins in that high backfield once again. as they have Jansen back there, and he's going to get the handoff. He's going to spin off the tackler. He was hit dead to rights right at the line of scrimmage, but he simply decided, I'm not going down just yet. He spun off of that one, and he picks up 4 yards out, or 5 yards out of what looked like a loss.
AD Kevin McDonald here at Nokomis High School told us before the game, Gary, that Nokomis, very pass-heavy team, and we're not seeing that at all. Ryan Jansen looks like he's really enjoying the opportunity to get some carries and runs hard. Very impressive, a lot of moves, a lot of spins, and just keeps his feet churning.
Well, I think they see something with that three-man front for the Oilers that they can attack, and just as I say that, they try to go off tackle on the left side. Not a whole lot going on there as Adam Lyons was wrapped up by a host of Oilers. Big number 76, Mark Van. You say, how big was he? 6 foot, 250 pounds. Wrapped Lyons up at the 45 for no gain. Going to bring up a third and five. Third down, 5 yards to go. Nokomis now is going to split two receivers wide to the right. One bout to the left. They'll swing a man in motion and then flip the little bubble pass out to Lyons. And I'll tell you what, just as the ball got into Lyons' hands, there was a number 55, Josh Franklin, who got in his kitchen, so to speak, and brought him down too sweet. Wow.
One of those really athletic big linebackers that the Oilers have was there, and I tell you what, Nokomis might have dodged a bullet there, because had Franklin had his wits about him, he might have picked that off and there wouldn't have been anybody touch him, because he was there same time the ball got there.
Now, Lyon's going to have to check those fillings to make sure they're still secure. He took a licking there, but he's right back up over at the slot formation over on the right side. Now he'll come back in motion to the near side. Keeps coming, and now they decide he's run too far, and Coach Watson says, I think we better take a timeout. And so the Nokomis Redskins leading here 6-0 with 9:29 to go till halftime. They'll take a timeout. We will, too. You're listening to WSMI. It would appear that the Redskins are going to punt here on fourth down, as they have Tocetti back, and he will indeed kick. Gets a nice high kick. It'll take a Redskin bounce, and they will down it down inside the 20-yard line. So Tocetti, he wasn't sure. He went over and looked at Coach and kind of stuck his foot out like, do you really want me to punt it or you want me to fake it? They punt, and it'll be good distance on the punt, no return on the punt. And so the East Alton Woodrower Oilers trailing 6-0. They'll get the ball, but they'll start deep in their own territory down on about their own 19.
Hunter Morales, the right defensive end for the Oilers, was right there, and had he extended just a little bit more, maybe even left his feet, he might have got a piece of that ball.
I think he was a little bit afraid, though, that he might not got the ball and then would have gotten the quarterback and had a roughing the kicker, and he decided discretion may be the better part of valor. It's going to be a handoff to the second back coming through for the Oilers. Is it going to be Newtall coming up to shoot that time? We shall see as they unpile. No, indeed, it will be Damian Weissman on the run, 5'8", 180-pound junior. It's a nice run there of about 5 yards. We'll call it second and five with the ball on about the 24. Wide receiver coming way out here all by his lonesome. And that is Philip Tierney. And instead, they'll go right back up to shoot again. And the Oilers trying to go off tackle over on the left side. Some tough going there out over the 25 to about the 26 for a gain of a couple. Coming up on a big stop there was Preston Brummett for the Redskins. They'll spot the ball at the 25. That's going to bring up a third and still about four to go. Third and four from the 25 for the Oilers, who trail here 6-0. To the Nokomis Redskins, both teams coming in at 4-3 overall. Oilers 4-0 in conference play. Nokomis 3-1. Again, up the chute go the Oilers. Again, not much yardage there. As the Redskins playing some tough defense in the middle. That time it was number 13 for the Redskins. I don't have him on my program. That means he's a freshman coming out here.
He is one of our, that's Isaac Satterley.
There we go. He's been in our
freshman defensive back.
Going to bring up a fourth and short, so it'll be punt time for the Oilers. Not a whole lot of breeze going on here this evening as the punt will go nice, high, long kick, fair catch at the 40-yard line. Nokomis with a fair catch at the 40-yard line. They will have it a first and 10 there. David Jenkins, do you have some scores for us?
I sure do, Gary Boker. In the same old conference, Auburn a 14-0 lead over Porta. Again, both those teams 3-4 and fighting for their postseason lives. Also fighting for postseason lives, Pleasant Plains a 14-7 lead over New Berlin. Pleasant Plains 4-3, New Berlin 3-4. Now back to Gary and Dan at Nokomis High School.
Thank you, Mr. Jenkins. We appreciate those scores and those updates. And like I said earlier, all you have to do is leave it right here on WSMI, FM 106, and of course these games tonight are coming to you on WSMI, FM 106, and as well as being streamed online on WSMIRadio.com, thanks to Network One Sports. It will be Nokomis ball, first and 10 from their own 40. Fake handoff is probably... Mr. Lyons is saying, man, I didn't get the ball, but I sure got walloped there as big number 59, Hunter Morales, came up and popped him on the play. However, Tosetti kept it, and as he was trying to spin his way around the corner, he spun his feet right out from under him and went down at the 35 for a loss of five.
Hunter Morales, really a good-looking athlete, that right defensive end, kind of tall and slender, but yet very explosive and strong. Plays a nice job.
Back up the middle. Not much going there for Nokomis either. As you said, Morales. Well, let's put it this way. On that last hit by Morales, I had my headphones on. And I could still hear very distinctly the
pop
of the pads on that one. Third down play doesn't gain much at all. Back to about the line of scrimmage. Second down play. Going to bring up a third and 15 for the Redskins. They lead here 6-0. They utilized a short field. 52-yard drive got them their only score of the game thus far for either team. Now it's going to be a passing situation. Looking over the middle, got a receiver there, and bringing down a catch. Outstanding job. I believe that was the big guy, Ryan Jansen, wasn't it? It was Ryan Jansen, the 5'10", 170-pound junior. He just kind of floated through the center of the line and then takes it down about the 50-yard line, reaches up, makes a good two-handed catch, gets the ball into Wood River territory at the 48, first and 10 for the Redskins.
Outstanding case of just pitch and catch from the quarterback to the receiver. Right up the middle of the field, Jansen was just kind of found some grass, sat down in it, and Tosetti just found him right in that zone.
I like the way he looked that ball right into his hands. Now rolling out is Tosetti. He's got a receiver down deep. Looked like the defender had better position, Ryan Dawson, and so it was Mason Stewart who had to go up and create a jump ball and then knock it away as the offensive man became the defensive specialist. Knocks the ball to the ground, and it'll bring up a second and 10. Good defensive play there by Mason Stewart as he was on offense.
Really was. Adam Tosetti just launched the ball down the middle of the field, and if it had not been for Stewart breaking that up, I think it would have been a pick.
We'll try a little toss sweep this time, and I'll tell you what, the Oilers, they are doing a good job as a team, and individually, Hunter Morales, it says he's got 50 tackles here on the season, and I can see why. He runs you down before you can turn the corner all the way back at their own 45. Going to be a loss of 7. Going to bring up a 3rd and 17 for the Redskins, and they're walking the wrong way.
Really was. Morales had that sniffed out from the very beginning. Lyons was doing everything he could just to try to get back to the line of scrimmage, and Morales just too good in that moment. Made a great tackle.
Well, as you said, Hunter Morales playing that defensive end. Now they're trying to double-team him, and as they do, that frees a couple of other defenders, and Tosetti did not have a chance, as he's going to be brought down there by Richard Stewart, as well as a host of Oilers all the way back at the 38-yard line. Going to be a loss of seven more, and it's going to be punt time, and it looks as though the Oilers' defense has found their groove.
Yeah, it really had. That first series that Nokomis took down and scored, they looked a little lethargic out there. It's almost like they decided, man, I don't know if I'm going to play in this cold, rainy weather. But I think they've decided we're here anyway. Let's play.
Well, Stewart that time made a good stop, but I think he got hit in the shin, and he's still kind of hobbling a little as the punt comes down to Ryan Dawson. Dawson does a good job of returning it from about his own 30 out near the 40-yard line, but we have a penalty flag thrown at the 43. Let's see what the call shall be here.
Mason Stewart, who returned the punt, got up kind of holding his midsection. He indicated sideline that he's okay.
Going to be a block in the back on the Oilers. Flag thrown at the 43, so they'll march it off from there. The Oilers will get the ball back, but it's not going to be as good a field position as they thought they would have it, as we have 4:04 to go in this rather rapidly played first half. 6-0, Nokomis with the lead. East Dalton Wood River with the ball on their own 33. From the 33, first and 10 for the Oilers as they break the huddle. Big Curtis Hyde, 5'9", 230-pound senior. He comes out at center. Adam Newberry, 5'10", 250-pound senior. He's over at one guard as they'll send a man in motion, and we'll have whistles blowing. As they have whistles blowing, we'll figure out what this penalty is about. When they figure out what this penalty is about, we'll come back. But in the meantime, David Jenkins, any more scores for our listeners?
Indeed I do, Gary Boker. Another score out of the South Central Conference. Greenville, a 12-0 lead over Gillespie in the first half. Greenville 5-2 on the year. Gillespie 3-4. And Auburn, a 14-0 lead over Porta in the Sangamo Conference. And Williamsville, all over Pittsfield, 21-0. Now back to Gary and Dan at Nokomis High School.
Well, the penalty was an offsides on the Redskins, so that's going to give East Alton Wood River 5 free yards. They're going to take it out to about the 39. It's going to be 1st and 5 for them now. Once again, we want to thank David Jenkins for not only producing our game and our second game tonight, Carlinville and Staunton, but also bringing us scores throughout the evening. Thank you, sir. Here we go. 1st and 5 for the Oilers. They'll put a man in motion, swing it out to Reggie Newtall. Newtall with some good speed gets the ball out over the 40 to about the 41-yard line. He's tripped up there. Coming up on the tackle was Alex Tossetti with a host of friends. They'll spot the ball at the 41, give him a gain of just a couple. So that's going to bring up a 2nd and still about 3 yards to go. From their own 41, the Oilers of East Alton Wood River. They came out of Madison County all the way up here to Montgomery County. Long journey. And they have been held scoreless thus far tonight. Oh, good block there. Cutting back wide open was Reggie Newtall. Newtall with outstanding speed makes a cutback over to the far side. He's down the left sideline. As he goes down inside the 20, inside the 10, he's down to about the 5-yard line. It'll be 1st and goal just like that. Newtall goes from his own 41 all the way down to about the 5-yard line of Nokomis.
We commented about that, Gary, that this Reggie Newtall is a very explosive runner. It was just a matter of time before he got loose in the backfield, and that was the case. Came to the right, cut all the way back across the left. Eluded two or three different Nokomis tacklers in the process, and he's got the kind of speed that's just really difficult to reproduce in practice, and Nokomis having a tough time making that adjustment.
Not only speed, but deceptive speed. He is so quick coming off that first cut, and into the end zone go the Oilers, as it looked like that was number 42. That is big Damian Wiseman, the 5'8", 180-pound junior. Wiseman takes it in for the touchdown. Damian Wiseman. He is working tonight as the backup or replacement for Newberry, who, as we said, is out with a broken leg. This was a guy who had over 1,000 yards. The Oilers definitely missing him, but they're finding an able replacement in a couple of the halfbacks and in the fullback, Damian Wiseman. Now the point after attempt, as they will go for two. Wiseman in the backfield. Man goes in motion. Fake handoff, and the quarterback is going to keep it himself and not get in the end zone. So Kenny Beecham was not able to convert the two-point conversion, and so our score now reads 6-6, Oilers, Redskins. We're tied with 3:06 to go till half, and you're listening to WSMI. Brandon Kaiser for the Redskins. He recovered a squib kick at about the 43, so the Oilers, thinking they could use a little trickery to maybe get the ball back before the end of the first half, but did not work that time. Kaiser recovers, and the Redskins now will take the ball on their own 43. First and 10, we're down to about 3 minutes to go here in the first half. They'll go out of the eye and give to the tailback, Adam Lyons, and Lyons is picked up and thrown to the ground, as there was Hunter Morales, who was there, as well as Mark Van, who was there. Who's the other big boy on the other side? Gavin Haynes. So you got a defensive end, and a nose guard, all three meeting on the back of the ball carrier.
Yeah, and very impressed. And we've talked about Hunter Morales, and I got a feeling we're going to be talking about him a lot. He came all the way from his right end and made that tackle that was going off. It was going between guard and tackle on the complete other side of the field. Just a very fast, explosive defensive end.
Well, they'll give him back to the line of scrimmage, and I think that's probably being generous. But it'll be a second and 10 from the 43. Because this time they'll go to the fullback, and Jansen's going to find the going tough as well, as he's going to be stopped there by Mark Van, who wrapped him up at the 46. Another update, David Jenkins.
Thank you very much, Gary Boker. Upset watch in the Sangamo Conference. North Mac, who is 3-4 on the year, leading Athens, who's 5-2. That score 14-6 after one quarter of play. Now back to Gary Boker and Dan Newkirk in Nokomis.
Well, the Oilers are going to take a timeout, as Nokomis is going to have a 3rd and 6 from their own 46. 1:57 to go till halftime. Oilers going to see if they can't get the ball back, Dan Newkirk, tonight, this is game number one, but we've got a lot more coming your way, right?
Sure do, Gary. Tonight's game is brought to us on WSMI FM 106.1, thanks to Network Sports, Network One Sports. Tomorrow morning, starting at 7:30, we've got the Spotlight on Sports, WSMI FM 106.1, followed by the Sports Saturday Show at 9:03. Fighting Illini football game is live broadcast beginning with the pregame show at 1:30. Purdue traveling to Illinois. That game can be heard on 105.3 The Ox.
And David Jenkins, a little bug in my ear right there. He says, hey, coach, while you're going home tonight, you can listen to WSMI Game 2, which will be a South Central Conference affair between Carlinville and Staunton.
Another Route 4 matchups.
There you go. Having some good ones indeed. 3rd and 6 for Nokomis, as they will go up the chute, giving the ball off to Jansen. Jansen's going to get the ball on about the 48. That's all the further he'll get. Give him a gain of 2 from the 48. It's going to be 4th down, still about 5 yards to go for the Redskins. Once again, the Oilers, they want to see if they can conserve the clock, so they'll call a timeout. We'll take a timeout, too. Be back after these messages on WSMI. David Jenkins, our producer, back at the studio where he's nice and toasty warm. Dan Newkirk, Gary Boker, we're shivering just a little bit, but this is football weather. Punting time, and it's going to be blocked by that man, Hunter Morales. He's going to pick it up, and he's going to take it 40 yards for the touchdown. Morales, he's been quick off the line all night long. And that time, Hunter Morales just simply came through unscathed. He blocked that one cleanly. He picked it up cleanly. 40 yards later, he was in the end zone with the blocked punt for 6 points to give the Oilers the lead tonight.
You know, Gary, as I looked out in the last series, I noticed that that's Wyatt Dooley at left tackle across from Hunter Morales, just a freshman, getting quite an education on O-line, D-line play from from Morales, and I get a feeling Coach Watson and staff's going to have to make some kind of adjustment to account for, or at least give some help for Morales. Otherwise, he's going to take this game over.
Well, I'll tell you what, that was a big Morales booster, as it boosted the morale of the Oilers. Not only did they score at the end of the first half, but they also scored with their defense and take the lead for the first time tonight. Now they're going to try to go for two, and the point after attempt is no good. But Hunter Morales, on the 40-yard block punt return for the touchdown, has given the Oilers a 12-6 lead over the Nokomis Redskins. We'll be back with the Oiler kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Dan Newkirk, right now, if I was to have to pick a player of the game, I believe I'd have to go with Hunter Morales. He's been very disruptive on the defense, and then that time with the block kick or block punt, as you said, not only did he block it, but he had the wherewithal to pick it up and know what to do with it, and did it very, very well.
Very impressive athlete.
Now the kickoff. Whew. The Redskins were letting that thing roll, and I was afraid they weren't going to get to it in time. They do. So trailing now 12-6 with 1:41 to go here in the first half, the Redskins will get the ball back.
Yeah, Hunter Morales was down right around that kick return. He is flying high right now. Hunter Morales is just really, you know, you get in the game as an athlete, and whatever sport it is, football, basketball, baseball, whatever you're playing, and you feel the groove. And I think Hunter Morales is in that right now, just really playing outstanding football defensively. A big difference also is the fact that Wood River is playing only about two guys both ways. So they got a lot of guys coming and going from the field, Hunter Morales being one of those guys. So he's fresh on defense.
And the thing of it is they have shut down the Nokomis offense, who's now going to go to the air. It's Tassetti. Oh, a nice pass as he's rolling to his left. He's able to make the completion as he finds receiver number 23. That is Brandon Kaiser, the 5'9", 150-pound senior, who came cutting across the middle, gets the ball all the way out over the 40-yard line to the 42, pickup of 22, first and 10 for the Redskins. That, a much-needed shot in the arm.
Kaiser doing a great job of pulling that ball in and hanging on to it, securing it with two hands the whole time.
Now Tripp's going out to the right to Seti, looking for a receiver, and this one is going to be intercepted. As you talk about a guy who just jumped the route, Ryan Dawson did so there. The big 6'3 sophomore comes up with the interception, and that's going to stop what looked like it could be an encouraging drive for the Redskins here at the end of the first half. Instead, the Oilers, leading 12-6, going to get the ball back on their own 40-yard line.
Mason Stewart was the intended receiver for the Redskins. He tried to come back and break that ball up again like he did earlier in the game, but I think his feet slipped out from under him when he tried to plant and come back, and then the interception was just there for the taking.
And a very difficult pass rolling out to his right and then cutting back, throwing mid-stride, was Tassetti. So with the interception then, it will be the Oilers getting the ball back one more time, and Ryan Dawson going to make a nice run there. So he simply goes off tackle on the left side, and Nakoma's going to call a timeout. He's going to pick up about 5 yards out to the 45. It'll bring up a second and 5, and I think Coach Watson wants to make sure he gets his defense set so they don't give up any more points on the half. They'll spot the ball actually at about the 48. Timeout on the field. We'll take a timeout, too. You're listening to WSMI. Want to remind you, game 2 tonight coming up following this action will be Carlinville at Staunton in a South Central Conference affair. Here, the East Alton Wood River Oilers with the ball on the 47-yard line. They're going to run that double reverse handoff, and it'll go to Ryan Dawson, and Dawson's going to get the ball across midfield down to about the 46-yard line of Nokomis. So give him a gain of about 6, make it first and 10. They'll stop the clock while they move the chains. Was he out of bounds? We shall see what the referee does as he marks the ball ready for play. He sets, he chops, he does not whine, so he was out of bounds. So from the Nokomis 46-yard line, a first and 10 for the Oilers. We're into the final minute and 6 seconds of the first half. Whoa, quarterback wasn't ready for that one. It bobbled all over the place.
Ball's still loose.
He was looking at his back in motion, and before he got his eyes back up to the center, the ball popped him in the chest, snapped right up, and I'm not sure who it is comes up with the ball.
It's looking like Wood River.
It is 54, one of the linemen there. That would be Adam Newberry. A couple of the Oilers a little bit slow getting up off the pile there. Ball is on the 46-yard line, so no loss, no gain, second and 10. Whole lot of excitement there, though.
30 seconds to go in half.
As they continue to wind the clock because the Oilers never lost the ball. Now it's going to be a run off the left halfback coming across on the right side. And that was Ryan Dawson who moves the chains. They'll stop the clock and move the chains down inside the 30 to about the 29. So gain of 17. First and 10, the Oilers, as they're moving quickly. And now we have incomplete pass. They'll spike the ball with 16 seconds to go. So that'll bring up second and 10 from the 29. Now here's a situation where the Oilers, as we said, not noted as a passing team on the season coming into tonight's game, only 14 passing attempts for Kenny Bishop. Now do you have enough time with 16 seconds to not go to the air?
Well, they have so much potential with all these running backs crisscrossing the backfield to run some kind of crazy reverse plays. And if they've got one that's a little bit outside the box, this would be a chance maybe to see it here.
Weissman is going to fake and go over the middle. He's open down the middle. No, that wasn't Weissman. I'm sorry. That was Gavin Haynes. Going to be a penalty flag. What are we going to get? Roughing the passer?
We're going to have roughing the passer.
With 11 seconds to go.
Derek Bell, defensive lineman for the Nokomis Redskins, aggressively coming up the middle and caught Beecham just a little bit late.
So that's going to mark off yardage against the Redskins, and with 11 seconds to go, the Oilers are going to have an opportunity to perhaps get a third second quarter score in here before halftime. They lead 12-6.
I tell you what, had Gavin Hayes kept running his route, I think he'd have ran right underneath that ball, but he kind of hitched his takeoff early.
Now they're going to split him out as a wide receiver to the left side. I'll tell you what, if I'm a defensive back, I do not want to have one-on-one coverage with that big guy.
Yeah, that's a big wideout.
6'2", 245 pounds.
Right, reminds me of this Gronk-looking guy playing for the Hilltoppers. And, maybe a little bigger.
And this kid can move as well. So they're going to spot the ball all the way down on about the 13-yard line. So it'll be a first and 10 for the Oilers from the Wood River, or from the Nokomis 13-yard line. Going back, going to the corner. Pass is incomplete. That's going to bring up a second down and 10 from the 13-yard line.
That takes us inside the Seavers Equipment Red Zone, though, powered by Seavers Equipment. Score big with Kubota in Auburn and Jerseyville. That's SeaversEquipment.com.
Second and 10 from the 13. Is the Oilers going to rotate in new set of receivers? It's like Hunter Roberts comes in. There's Gavin Hayes. Haynes, as he's looking over there to see. I'm not sure what pattern I'm supposed to be running here, Coach. Trips wide to the left. Haynes over by himself to the right. Tossing for a receiver in the end zone. Passes incomplete as the horn sounds, and that brings our first half to a conclusion. After two quarters of play here at Nokomis High School, it is East Dalton Wood River 12, Nokomis 6. Back with some halftime after these messages on WSMI. Dan Newkirk alongside. I'm Gary Boker, and just looking over some of the stats and records here at halftime, it just goes to show you the season's not over until you play all nine. When you look at East Dalton Wood River, they started out the season 0-3, and they took on the perennial power of the Prairie State Marquette in week four. So here you had a team 2-1 in Marquette playing a team that's 0-3. You thought, hey, the Oilers on the skids, that's it, season's over. but they came up with that 40-21 victory over Marquette, and in so doing, they started a winning streak that has now reached four. They're 4-3, and they're one half away from winning the Prairie State Conference. That's one of those never give up attitudes.
Well, and it's, as they say, there's a reason why they play the games. And just they've found some momentum. Coach Heron has done a great job coaching the kids up and keeping them in their spirits up and in games. And they're playing with a lot of confidence right now, especially offensive and defensive lines.
Despite the loss of the 1,000-yard rusher from their team. However, first things first, we have known, and we noted this at halftime, that Nokomis is a team that can come out in the second half and show you what they're really made of. They trail here 12-6, and they'll get the ball to start the second half and run the kickoff of the opening kickoff of the second half out to the 30-yard line. Let's see if the Redskins can get something going and not tie this one up and perhaps take the lead.
Had freshman Landon Engelman returning that kickoff, and I'm sure he came up the left side of the field and tried to make a kind of a double, triple, quadruple move, which I'm sure was very effective in junior football last year in eighth grade. But in varsity football, it gets you ran over, and it did.
But he jumped right up. He's none the worse for the wear. Now the Redskins will do a pass out into the flat, little bubble screen on the down and out over there. The intended receiver, I believe, was looks like Trevor Wright getting up with a little bit of a hitch in his giddy-up. They'll spot the ball out on about the 34-yard line. So we give him a gain of four and call it second and six. From the 34, two wide receivers over here to the near side as the Redskins are going from our right to our left, or to the west. A fumbled snap there, but the Redskins are able to recover with a loss on the play back to about the 32. Going to bring up a third and about eight.
Looks like the ball just didn't get off the ground from the center snap. It rolled out just a few yards. We got the slick ball. We got the slick field. And just could not quite make the exchange.
Plus, the center's got a guy right over the top of him. That can disconcert you a little bit when he's been pouring through there in the first half. Another low snap, but they able to pick it up is Tassetti. He throws a little pass out here in the flat as the receiver is Ryan Jansen. Jansen, however, only gets about 2 or 3 yards out to about the 34. So that Oiler defense has pretty much picked it up right where they left off in the first half. It'll be a fourth down, and it looks like Tassetti, the punter, going to drop back a few extra yards, and he'll give the ball away to the Oilers. Ryan Dawson back for East Alton Wood River, as the snap is a good one. The punt is a line drive down at the 36-yard line. Dawson's going to take off over on the left side. He'll turn the corner and head down the sideline. He's finally going to be tripped up, but not until he gets down near the 20-yard line. Outstanding run back of the punt by Ryan Dawson.
I tell you what, I think a lot of Nokomis coaches and players got their arms up. I think they wanted some kind of an illegal hit or maybe too rough of a hit. But Hunter Morales, what we call a peel back block on that punt return, came back and just lit up one of the Redskins right out in front of everybody. Great block. It was very physical, but to the chest, very much a legal block.
To the front numbers, so therefore it wasn't an illegal block. But as you said, tell that to the guy that got hit. They'll give the ball off to Reggie Newtall, and Newtall's going to take the ball down inside the 20. As he'll get it down to about the 18-yard line. So from the 18, it'll be second and short.
That's going to take us into the Seavers Equipment Red Zone. Seavers Equipment, mow like a pro with Xmark. Super big at Seavers. SeaversEquipment.com.
Big play here is the Redskins need to make a stop if they want to stay in this ball game. They could not move the ball on their first possession, and now it is going to be Damian Weissman, the 5'8", 180-pound junior. He's going to get the call. He's going to take the ball down inside, just barely inside the 15. So we'll call it the 15, give him a gain of three, going to bring up a third and about one. Third and one from the Comas 15, just underway here in the third quarter. 8:55 and counting. 12-6 is the East Dalton Wood River lead. And the Oilers are on the move once again. Dawson's going to be the right halfback. They'll go in motion. They'll give him the handoff. He'll try to scoop that left side. Not a whole lot going on over there. Looks like Gavin Vincent, one of the first to come up there and help make the stop. And also in there, I believe that was Derek Bell popping him once. And that was at the 15-yard line, so going to be no gain on that. It's going to be fourth and still one. Bell with a good defensive stop there. Fourth and one, fourth and two, as we approach the eight-minute mark of the third quarter. Beecham with one back behind him. We'll give the ball off to that one back, and that's Weissman. And Weissman is going to churn his way down for a first down as he'll get the ball down near the 10-yard line, down close to the 5-yard line. So from the 5, it's going to be a first and goal for the Oilers, who already lead here 12-6, and they're looking to extend that. They'll move the chains, and once they do, they'll wind the clock back up.
They must add quite a competition at that fullback position, because Damian Weissman coming in looks really, really impressive running back there.
Indeed he does, as he goes burrowing in close to the goal line. Looks like he's going to be brought down on about the 1 or the 2. That was simple fullback trap. We're going to shoot right up the middle and see what we can get. Going to bring up a second and goal. Let's spot this one at about the 3.
I like the odds of Damian Weissman carrying the ball here twice at least, trying to get this, pick up these 3 yards.
Well, you've got that huge offensive line, 250, 255, 250, 230. You got one guy in there that tips the scale at 330. So a lot of beef up front for Weissman. But instead, they're going to go to the outside, swinging around the end. I'm not sure he's going to get in. Going to be brought down short of the goal line. And on the carry that time was Reggie Newtall. Newtall's going to be stopped at about the 1. Going to bring up a third and goal. The Comas defense, they're bending but trying desperately not to break. Oh, watch out. They're bringing the big boys in now up front.
Yeah, I tell you what, Coach, they need me calling plays here, because I like Damian Weissman. if Damian Weissman behind that offensive line cannot get in, can't get 2 yards on 3 plays, there's something wrong.
Rolling dice, you say 42 white, huh? Here we go. Will they give it back to him? Yes, they will. Will he go in the middle? Yes, he will. Will he get to the end zone? Yes, he will. Coach Newkirk with the call. The East Dalton Wood River Oilers with the touchdown as Damian Weissman takes it in from 1 yard out.
I got to say, that's one of the easier predictions I've ever made in my entire life.
It's not rocket science, right?
No. Not when you're dealing with this situation with that offensive lineman and a kid that runs that hard.
And, of course, credit that big offensive line in front of him. They just kept pushing. And credit the Nokomis defense. They made life difficult for the Oilers. They gave that ground up very begrudgingly.
A lot of tradition here. A lot of tradition here with Redskin football, and they're not going to go down lightly, that's for sure.
They're going to go for the two-point conversion, and this one is going to look rather easy as Ryan Dawson is going to swing around from the right side to the left end. He'll scoot into the left corner of the end zone. So finally we have an extra point attempt that is successful. Dawson's two-point conversion makes it 20-6 in favor of the Oilers. Back with the East Dalton Wood River kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Now the Oiler kickoff goes down to about the 10-yard line, and outstanding coverage there as they bring the Redskins down at about the 15-yard line. Good coverage there by the Oilers special team. And now Nokomis on the short end of a 20-6 count, going to have some poor field position with which to start.
I'm trying to figure out how many times my good friend Mr. Morales can run straight down the field without getting blocked and be there to make great tackles on the kick return team, because he is making it look too easy.
Well, I'm just going to tell you this. If I'm standing in front of him and he's ready to run over me, he will get passed.
Making some business decisions out there.
There you go. First play up the middle goes for little or no gain. Going to bring up a 2nd and 10 with the ball still resting on the 11-yard line. Tell you what, he is a load going down the field, that is for sure. As we said.
See, he tips the scale on the program anyway to 180 pounds, but he plays well over 200 pounds on the field.
He's wired for 220, let's put it that way.
Oh, there's no doubt. A college is going to put some great weight on him.
Now the Redskins trying to roll out the pass. Nothing there. Finally, a throwback almost complete. That was a nearly impossible pass as that time Tosetti was rolling out to his left, trying to swing back and catch a cutter coming across the middle. The pass was incomplete. And going to be a holding call against the Redskins to boot.
It was. The left tackle literally tried to tackle Morales, and Morales was still able to get out there and put serious pressure on the ball.
You got to do what you got to do. You got to do what you got to do. Quarterback sometimes.
Is this guy?
I'm not so sure if I were the Oilers, I wouldn't decline this penalty, but they're going to take it, and that'll move the Redskins back further. We're going to be inside the 10-yard line.
You know, Gary, Coach Rayner used to tell us anytime we can put the ball closer to our end zone, we're going to try to have take an opportunity to do that. So they're getting awfully dangerous, dangerously close to the Oiler end zone.
Second and 16 from the 5. Cassetti's going to go deep. A little bump and run defense, some contact there, but both players going for the ball, so no infractions. Incomplete pass going to bring up a third and 16. That's where you like both players going for the ball aggressively, but cleanly.
Really was. Reggie, what is Reggie's last name? Newtall. Newtall in coverage there. And it was. There was a little bumping going on by both offense and defense, but just good solid play by both receiver and D-back.
That'll bring up a third and 16. Nicomas, a little trouble with a snap that time. It makes you wonder because in the first half there wasn't a whole lot of problems with the snaps. Now here we come out in the second half and it seems like we're having trouble hanging on to the ball. Procedure call against the Redskins is going to back them up further. They're going to be down inside the 5 now. Going to bring up a third and I'm just going to call third and 20. In old school we round off anyway. Third and halfway to Macoupin County. Ooh, high snap. Tosetti does a good job of pulling it down. Pass over the middle. Oh, it is caught. Off to the races goes the Redskins. One man to beat. Picked up a block there. And off to the races for the Redskins is Trevor Wright. And Trevor Wright goes down to the 15, the 10, the 5, and into the end zone. Trevor Wright. Just what the doctor ordered. Wow.
Well,
he's got to go, what, 95 yards?
97.
97?
97. Your back's against the wall and you're third and forever. A 97-yard touchdown pass feels pretty good. Boy, oh, boy, and could not come at a better time for these Nokomis Redskins as the Wood River Oilers were really starting to gain some momentum here in the second half.
Well, the safety somehow or another bit on the wrong side, and so it was one-on-one coverage there. Once he got past the safety, it was off to the races, picked up a good downfield block. Now they'll try for two, and the pass will be intercepted, so it'll go incomplete. However, with 4:59 to go here in the third quarter, the Redskins of Nokomis are on the board once again, a 97-yard touchdown pass to Trevor Wright. Makes it 20-12. Back with the Redskin kickoff after these messages on WSMI.
David Jenkins back with you in your WSMI studios with this score update. And in the South Central Conference, Hillsboro opens up a 30-0 lead over Southwestern. That game in the second half. Also, Vandalia now in the second half leading Roxana 22-0. Now back to Nokomis High School and Gary Boker and Dan Newkirk.
Thank you, David Jenkins. We're back to the Prairie State Conference as the Nokomis Redskins have breathed new life into their football hopes with a 97-yard touchdown pass as it went from Alex Tosetti to Trevor Wright. Now on the ensuing kickoff, the Oilers get the ball out to the 45, so they'll scrimmage them there, but they have the lead. However, the momentum has shifted sides over here to the Nokomis sideline.
That one play just really invigorated and energized the entire sideline. The fans are cheering on the defense.
The announcers.
The announcers, the radio guys. You know, all of a sudden the black and red is back in this game, and we're looking at maybe a little bit more exciting of a second half than we were just a few minutes ago.
I think the part that impresses me the most is they were staring adversity in the face
did
not blink. And that, of course, says a whole lot for the program and the character of the players on this program. As we said, there's not a lot of numbers here. There's not a lot of age here. Some very young players, but they're showing that they are a very composed team. And now the defense steps out. On the first down, they make a stop after a 2-yard gain, making it a 2nd and 8.
You know, Gary, you make a very, really, really great point that the majority of this team, their entire offensive line are underclassmen, their quarterback, 2 running backs, underclassmen. You know, so it's experiences like this that are going to bode well at this time next year when they're looking to make a serious playoff run.
You got that right. And now the Oilers, they're looking to make a serious run to see if they can return that touchdown. They will give the ball off to the big guy, Weissman, and he'll get the ball across midfield into Redskin territory down to the 46. That'll be a gain of about 9, going to bring up a 3rd and 1.
With very little prospect of Wood River throwing the ball, they're going to keep this clock running quite a bit. Timeouts and time management is going to become a huge issue for Coach Paul Watson, trying to keep their guys in the game.
Well, this is what the Oilers have been doing all year, grinding it out on the ground. Their biggest ground gainer, that is with most yardage, he's no longer playing, but the man stepping up, and they say, next man up, that's what it's all about. Well, this next man up for the Oilers has been doing quite well tonight, thank you very much, and that is Damian Weissman. He's had another nice gain there, down to the Nokomis 44. Going to bring up 1st and 10 for the Oilers.
Weissman just a junior. Newberry just a sophomore. Be interesting to see if they try to get those two in the backfield together next year.
Now the handoff to Ryan Dawson, and Dawson finds some opening there. He sets up at that right halfback off of like a tight slot or a wingback, as you would say. And he takes the handoff and scoots around left side, gets all the way down inside the 30-yard line. Looks like they're going to mark him at about the 27 maybe? Move that pole for me, could you?
At the 37.
37. Really?
No, that's not right. Oh, there they changed it on the board. They did change it to 27.
Man.
You had it, Coach.
I feel better about my eyes.
Old eyes looking through a light pole.
Lordy, I had new glasses with old eyes, and that telephone pole's about as old as these eyes.
I made a mistake looking at the scoreboard.
I couldn't see it. Here we go. They'll give the ball off to Weissman, and Weissman will churn it up the middle, and he'll go to about the 25, pick up a tough 2, brings up a 2nd and 8. And once again, the interior of that defense for the Redskins doing an outstanding job.
Really are. A little bit undersized and definitely underclassed as far as age goes. These kids in black and red are really, really playing hard. Again, I think they're still feeling some juice and energy from that 97-yard touchdown pass. And if they can get a stop here, just somehow etch out a stop here, boy, they're going to have the ball with a chance to tie the score.
Custer Cook in on that last stop. This time they're going to give the ball off and breaking through a tackle. And once he got through that line, there was no stopping Reggie Newtall as he bounced off one would-be tackler, then a second one, and Newtall takes it in from 25 yards out. Wow.
Made that look kind of easy. Just kept his legs moving. Tackles got a little bit high, and once he got in the open field, just too fast. Just too much speed out of Newtall, and it's off to the races.
Well, when you look at Newtall, he's 6 foot, 170 pounds. He's a little on the wiry side. And yet, when he picks those knees up and turns them, he's a tough cookie to bring down. Point after attempt, they'll go for 2 with Weissman in the backfield. Man in motion, it'll be Newtall. It'll be a pass play. Oh, too simple there, as that time a receiver was wide open. For the Oilers, was that number 27?
I believe it was 21. Will Keith?
That looks right. Will Keith.
Will Keith, the junior receiver?
So Will Keith with the 2-point conversion, and that makes our score 28-12 in favor of East Alton Wood River. We'll be back with the Oiler kickoff after these messages on WSMI. real men wear pink stockings.
Yes, they do.
And he is proof of it right there. What an outstanding tackle there. What do you say?
Oh, boy. And it, not only do they wear pink stockings, they wear hair that hangs down to about midway down their numbers. And we're, of course, talking about Hunter Morales, the outstanding defensive end, kickoff return specialist, or kickoff, excuse me, coverage specialist, just man among boys on the field.
Now the Redskins are going to go to the air again, and they're successful once again as the pass tossed out here on a deep out route is caught over here on the sideline by Mason Stewart. And Stewart is run out of bounds all the way down inside the 30, down to about the 28-yard line. And so once again, the Redskins say, we're not going down without a fight. Outstanding pass there for a team that hadn't passed a whole lot earlier tonight. They're showing they do have that potential. Trailing now 28-12. Redskins feel like they've got to go to the air and get some quick points. Tocetti is going to duck out of the pocket. He's going to scoot over to the left side, down the sideline. He'll run out of bounds at about the 25-yard line. Picking up three, going to call it second and seven. No receivers open there, so he did the wise thing, got what yardage he could, got out of bounds.
First time that Tocetti able to actually gain yards from the run. He's had some a lot of heat and some negative yards on the sacks. So starting to kind of add to his, you know, kind of chip into that negative rush yardage.
From the 25, second down, Tocetti drops back, getting good protection. Now he's going to get flushed out of the pocket and throw down the sideline. And another outstanding catch sliding out of bounds over there is number seven for the Redskins, and that, of course, is Trevor Wright, who made the long touchdown catch just a few moments ago. An outstanding sliding catch there as he slid out of bounds inside the 10 down on about the 8-yard line, and from the 8-yard line, it'll be first and goal.
That's going to take us into the receiver's equipment red zone. Seavers Equipment, score big with JCB at Seavers Equipment. SeaversEquipment.com.
Tocetti looking into the corner of the end zone. The catch going to be made there, but going out of bounds just shy of the goal line is Brandon Kaiser. Kaiser making a catch at the one, makes a second and goal for NHS. 1:26 to go. Clock stop as he slid out of bounds. It'll be second and goal from the two for the Redskins, who trail here 28-12, but they're a knock, knock, knocking on the door. Tocetti going to call his own number. He'll spin through and go into the end zone. Alex Tocetti with his first touchdown of the night as he takes it in from 2 yards out. And that makes it 28-18. Tocetti's touchdown. And now the Redskins will go for two, we would assume. This coming with 1:23 in the third quarter. Nakoma scoring twice in the span of 3 minutes. And sandwiched in there is a Wood River touchdown as well. 2-point conversion is still looking, and they said it's good. The catch made there by Ryan Jansen as he simply went into the secondary, found a comfortable spot to set. And he makes the catch for the 2-point conversion, which makes it 28-20. Don't go away. The Oilers have the lead, but the Redskins, they're putting up a battle. We'll be back with the Nokomis kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Tell you what, Nokomis Redskins putting on a show here tonight. Every time you think the knockout blow has been delivered, they come back and say, not so fast.
Alex Tocetti's been very impressive here in the second half. Both from the pocket, planting his feet and throwing some strikes, but he's become much more accurate and moving around. Where he had a little bit of trouble in the first half throwing the ball on the run, he's all of a sudden become very, very accurate, throwing some very nice passes to the sideline off 1 foot. So Alex Tocetti is starting to gain some momentum here.
The Nokomis kickoff goes out of bounds, and the East Alton Woodward Oilers elect to have them re-kick, so they'll go back and spot the ball on the 35. And the Redskins will do it again. Redskins decked out in their black over black. Oilers in their white over white. Ball down to the 25. Off to the races is Ryan Dawson. He's still on his feet. He crosses midfield. He's down inside the 40. He's down inside the 30. And he will be run out of bounds at the 30-yard line. And, Dan, we made mention a moment ago about the presence of a lot of pink tonight. You want to explain that for us?
There really is. Here it's October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And the Nokomis Redskins, it's the second year in a row we've been over here when they released the pink balloons before the game. I posted something on my Facebook page, just a beautiful picture of the pink balloons going up. We lost a great lady in Litchfield this week, Alicia Grossenheider, who was a strong-hearted track mom, farm wife, and just a great lady.
An advocate.
Not only cancer research, but she was the founder of a support group for victims and families of breast cancer. So we, you know, the world lost a great lady, and in particular Litchfield, and the loss of Alicia Grossenheider this week.
May have been a loss of life, but I tell you what, heaven gained an outstanding young lady.
Well, and you know, when you talk about the tribute of a person, I sat in a church yesterday for almost 3.5 hours waiting to pay my respects to Doug and Cole, you know, and the family, and it was just, again, the amount of people that were there. Her daughter Shayla, just standing strong in her place, made the comment that, you know, she was doing well because mom didn't give them any choice. That's how they had to do. So, and that was the lady that Alicia was. So just going to be missed by a lot of people in our community, originally from Raymond, in that area. So just had a lot of family and friends there, and it was quite an event.
It was a celebration of life.
It truly was. Truly was. Not a lot of mourning going on, because we all knew Alicia wouldn't allow us to do that. So, and just, you know, celebrating the life that she was and the life that she took on after being so strong and dealing with a terrible illness. So, and again, just kind of on that topic, we lost one of our former football players at Litchfield early this morning. Leighton Piesold lost his battle with cancer also.
Our thoughts and prayers go out to all of those families that have been affected. And, of course,
yes,
as we look down over the crowd and we look out amongst these players, I dare say that probably everyone here their life has been touched in some way, shape, or form by this terrible disease.
Unfortunately. And here in Montgomery County, you know, please do everything you can to support the Montgomery County Cancer Association. They're trying to do everything they can to raise funds, bring awareness and education and research towards this just terrible, devastating disease that we've all been touched by it, unfortunately, and hopefully there's going to get to a point where our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren will have to look up what breast cancer was, because it's going to be something they just don't know what it is, and they're not affected by it anymore.
Amen to that. That's Dan Newkirk. I'm Gary Boker. We've come to the end of the third quarter after three quarters of play here at Nokomis High School. East Alton Wood River 28, Nokomis 20. Back with the fourth quarter after these messages on WSMI. On a third and six from the Nokomis 25, the Oilers attempt to pass, and that's an oddity in itself. It's incomplete, going to bring up a fourth down for the Oilers. Trailing now 28-20, it's imperative, I would say, that Nokomis gets a stop here and doesn't allow the Oilers to go in and score.
Yeah, it really is. At the 11:54 mark, if they can get this turnover, turnover on downs, it's going to give them at least a fighting chance here.
Man goes in motion, and he's going to get the ball. That's Dawson running around the side. Ryan Dawson down the near sideline, and he's going to be finally driven out of bounds. Looks like down at about the 16-yard line. That's going to be enough for a first down, as it was fourth and six. Needed six. Picked up nine. First and 10, Oilers.
The Oilers receivers do not get a lot of attention from a passing standpoint, as we've talked about all night. But these young men are tremendous blockers. And when Dawson and Newtall both have got to the outside, just great job of blocking on the perimeter to spring these guys for big gains.
Will Keith, the wide receiver, all by his lonesome over on the far side. Instead, Reggie Newtall going to get the call. He's going to be driven out of bounds over there. A good open field tackle by Brandon Kaiser. as he got down low on those legs, knocked those pegs out from under him. He'll go out of bounds down at about the 10-yard line. So it's going to be a gain of 6, make it 2nd and 4.
That gain of 6 takes Reggie Newtall to 113 yards now with Brody Newberry out there, big carry with over 1,000 yards on the season. Reggie Newtall steps up, and another 100-yard game for the Oilers.
320 yards on the season, and he picks up one-third of that here in a single game tonight. As you said, an outstanding effort by Reggie Newtall. Instead, this time they'll go back to Ryan Dawson, and Dawson's going to try to turn the corner over on the left side. He's not going to get where he wanted to go because Adam Lyons, the 5'9", 170-pound junior, comes up with a nice stop just inside the 10-yard line. We're going to say no gain on that play, and still going to be 3rd down and about 4 for the Oilers. Nokomis defense being asked to make a stop here and get the ball back in the offense's hand. 11-11 showing on the fourth quarter clock, yes.
Sophomore Preston Brummett out there at its defensive tackle position, really trying to pump up the other guys. A lot of leadership there out of a young kid.
Weissman's going to get the call up the middle, and just a quick fullback trap, and he goes right up the chute, follows that big offensive line. There was Adam Newberry, there was Jeffrey Martinez, there was Curtis Hyde, there was Mark St. Peters and Mark Van, and they just blew things open. The fullback trap, good for the touchdown for the Oilers. Wow.
Yeah, the Oilers are starting to really rack up some yardage here. That's going to take them out close to, they're starting to approach the 300-yard mark. So with Brody Newberry out in that usual yardage, Coach Heron just said, you know what, and rather than have that one guy take up 70 to 80% of our offense, we're going to spread it out over several athletes, still getting the same production as they were.
Weissman with the 10-yard run. They're going to pass and attempt the 2, and it's going to be intercepted. And the pass play will be no good. But the score by Damian Weissman on a 10-yard run makes our scoreboard read 34-20. It's a 2-touchdown lead for the Oilers over the Redskins. Back with the East Dalton Wood River kickoff after these messages on WSMI.
David Jenkins back with you in your WSMI studios for this WSMI game break. And Hillsboro opens up a 44-0 lead over Southwestern, that in the second half. And then Vandalia extends their lead over Roxana, 43-0. Now back to Gary and Dan in Nokomis.
I saw it, but I'm going to let you describe it.
Well, Hunter Morales, our guy of the night, just running down the middle of the field and just shoving Redskins out of the way. And the strength of that, or the advantage of that, is he had many guys coming to him. He's knocking down. That freed up a lot of other Oilers to come and make the tackle, but drawing a lot of attention. Didn't matter. He's just throwing them left and right. There was black jerseys flying all over the place.
I'm not so sure I didn't hear him saying fee-fi-fo-fum as he was heading down the field. Outstanding play, as you said, once again. And now that puts the Redskins behind the eight ball as they'll start from their own 15-yard line. Tosetti, under pressure, he's able to roll away from it. Now he'll throw back to the middle, but throws behind his receiver, rolling out to his left, trying to throw that ball with his right arm. That's a very difficult one, and try to lead his receiver. Didn't lead him quite enough. The receiver slipped as he tried to come back to the ball. It'll fall incomplete, 2nd and 10. From their own 15, and now, of course, the Redskins, they feel like they have to come up with some points, trailing by 14 here. And they have given up 34 on the evening. Running a down and out route, now coming back. Oh, good adjustment there on the play, as that time it was Trevor Wright who ran the corner pattern. Then when he saw his quarterback was in trouble, he doubled back and was able to make the catch. Not a whole lot of gain on it, but he gets the ball out to about the 18-yard line. Going to bring up a 3rd and 7. I like the way he was thinking about his quarterback and coming back to the ball to make the reception. 3rd and 7. Redskins need a first down here. Pressure coming. Tosetti running. He's able to get the ball off. It's going to be a short pass down the sideline. Good coverage on the play there by Will Keith as he wrapped up the receiver. And that was Brandon Kaiser who made the catch. But he's far short of the first down yardage as he's out at about the 20-yard line. So a pickup of only two is going to bring up a fourth and five. Now with a fourth and five from your own 20, 9:28 to go, and I think the Redskins want to talk it over.
Yeah,
as they talk it over, we'll take a break, too. You're listening to WSMI.
David Jenkins back in your WSMI studios with this WSMI game break. And after leading Gillespie 28-0, Greenville has seen their lead cut a little bit shorter. It is now 35-21 heading into the fourth quarter. Now back to Nokomis High School, we rejoin Gary and Dan.
Sorry, David, we're not in Nokomis. We're north of the border as we just had three guys in motion at the same time. And you can do that in Canada, but you can't do it in the United States. And so it's going to be a procedure call on the Redskins. And it's going to send them back to the 15-yard line where they started. But this time it'll be a fourth and 10.
Got Trevor Wright and Mason Stewart, Chassetti's favorite receivers, both split out here to the right with three defenders out there. So there's a little bit of respect there. Come on.
One will go in motion and come back into the middle, looking over the middle, now getting it open deep, and there's the reception as the catch is made there by Mason Stewart. As we said, they ran a crossing maneuver, and as the outside receiver took to the inside, took one of the defenders with him, left a one-on-one out here for our man, Mason Stewart, and Stewart simply runs a deep post pattern, makes the catch. He's made some outstanding catches tonight. Gets the ball up near, well, it's exactly on the midfield stripe. So a gain of 35 yards gives the Redskins a first and 10 and new life. Back in motion goes right.
We're back in Canada.
Oh, come on, guys. We're going to have some sore toes tonight. They keep shooting themselves in the foot, as they would say.
Well, I think what happened there was we were going on one, and the center had two stuck in his mind, I believe, because receivers were running, linemen were coming up out of their stands.
You know what? That bugs me.
And the ball stayed put.
You running backs, you receivers, you always blame the center.
Well, with a center for a grandson, it can never be their fault, right?
There you go. Brace it a first and 15 from the 45. Tassetti says, I just got a little more room with which to work. Coming down and peeling off. He says, go deep, and tries to throw past the defender. There was good communication between a quarterback and a receiver as he said, hey, I think I can get it to you if you go deep. But by the time he turned, ran out of room to Tassetti over here on the sideline. He had to launch it. It goes incomplete, but you got to like the communication between the quarterback and the receiver on that one.
Yeah, I was trying to get Mason Stewart, and they're talking about it right now. And trying to get on the same page. He was trying to get Stewart to really plant his foot and break up the field.
Well, Stewart's problem was he was coming back to his quarterback because he saw he was in trouble, which he's done on numerous occasions tonight.
Problem was, I'm not sure Tassetti was in that much trouble out here. He didn't have much people pursuing him. He had some time to even plant his feet and put a good throw on the ball.
He probably could have pulled it down and run for a bit.
He was
looking for 6 points is what he was doing. Now second and 15. Oh, Tassetti with a good pump fake. Now going to go deep. Got a receiver beyond the secondary. What a catch! In stride to the end zone, Brandon Kaiser. You talk about Tassetti hooking up with a receiver. He saw his man there. That pump fake was all it took. The defense bit on it, and Brandon Kaiser went on a down, out, and down, and they ended up finding him clutching that football, dancing in the end zone with 6 points on the board.
Really just an outstanding pass. As when I've been very impressed when Alex Tassetti gets his feet set, he's a very, very dangerous passer. And the great thing about it is even when he's moving around in the pocket, he's very effective as well. Only a junior. I think this Prairie State Conference is going to be on warning next year with Alex Tassetti coming back.
Well, if we can just get the snap count right, we'll be better off there. But as you said, an outstanding passing combination there as Brandon Kaiser did the honors on that one. I thought when you were describing Tassetti that sooner or later there was going to be a former quarterback from the Vikings name come up. because he sure looked like Tarkenton, scrambling around
going,
and keeping his composure, didn't he?
Well, I like to call him a little bit more of a Russell Wilson myself. But yes, Fran Tarkenton does also come to mind.
The bluest skies you've ever seen are in Seattle. Here we go, trying for the two-point conversion. As DeSetti is up under center. He's going to fake the handoff. He's going to roll out. He's looking for a receiver, still looking in the corner. The catch is made, and I can't tell you who's got the reception down there.
I think, was it Mason Stewart? I was trying to tell. Yes. It was Mason Stewart.
It is indeed Mason Stewart coming up on that catch. With the extra point conversion good at the 8:54 mark, Nokomis has drawn back to within six. It's 34-28. Back with the Redskin kickoff after these messages on WSMI.
Back to your WSMI studios for a WSMI game break. David Jenkins here with you, and it was no contest in Maroa Forsyth this evening. Maroa Forsyth all over Riverton. That final score, 77-0. Now back to Nokomis High School. We rejoin Gary and Dan.
Tell you what, there is no quit in either one of these two teams. Ryan Dawson takes the kickoff, and he breaks through the Nokomis defense and takes the ball all the way down to the Nokomis 35-yard line. And tell you what, it's like we're going up and down the field and up and down the field some more. It's a track meet out here.
It really is. With the three aspects of football, offense, defense, and special teams, I think it's in that third aspect where Wood River is going to win this battle. The block punt, these great kickoff returns for a great field position they've had, I think in the end is going to make the difference.
So now the Oilers, they're going to go back to their ground game, and we have a penalty flag flying. As that was Reggie Newtall getting the call. Newtall runs out of bounds, and gain on the play of about five, but the penalty flag is going to bring this one back as they'll mark off the penalty against East Alton Wood River. 5-yard penalty on a hold that took place downfield, so the mark off the penalty will take the ball back to the 40-yard line, and that'll make it a first and 15 from there. So the Oilers' lead has been cut to 6, 34-28. As now they'll give the ball to the second back, and that's Weissman on the run. And Weissman shows he'll get those 5 yards back to the 35, so that's going to bring up a second and 10. From the Nokomis 35, Damian Weissman.
With him coming back and Brody Newberry coming back also, you know, they run a one-back set right now, but you almost got to see those two guys, what the potential of those two in the backfield together would be very impressive.
Yes, indeed. I'm thinking back years ago, way before most of our listeners were watching football, but SMU had a couple running backs in the stable, and they alternated and went to some outstanding years, one after another after another.
One named Eric, one named Craig.
Yes.
I can't remember the third one. Those
The 29-yard line on the carry brings up a third and about four for the Oilers. Nokomis need to make a stop right here as we're down to the 7:13 mark. Still plenty of time, but you got to get that East Alton Woodward offense off the field. They'll go to Weissman, and Weissman just goes right through a would-be tackle by Gavin Vincent, and he's able to get the ball down to the 25-yard line, and it's going to be enough for a first down, just barely, but they'll move the chains, and it'll be a first and 10 for the Oilers. And I tell you what, Gavin Vincent's upset with himself as he had him in the backfield, just couldn't hang on.
Yeah, Weissman turned minus two into positive 4-5 and just sheer determination.
So they'll move the chains and then they'll set the clock to running again. We're down inside 6:45 and counting. As the Oilers content right now to keep the ball in their hands, to keep the ball on the ground, to keep the clock running. as it has been an outstanding high school football game. Reggie Newtall wanted to duck inside. The opening wasn't there, so he scoots to the outside, goes down the sideline over on the far side. A couple of Oilers go down in a heap. And Newtall, let's see, did he get the first down? Where will they mark it? Looks like they're down close to the 15-yard line. We're going to call it a gain of 9, so it's 2nd and 1. And, of course, this is something that right now the Oilers like. You're setting at the 16-yard line, so you're in the side of the 20-yard line, but you've got 3 downs with which to work that clock.
That's Seavers Equipment Red Zone. Score big with Case IH at Seavers Equipment. That's SeaversEquipment.com.
Kenny Beecham. His job's been pretty easy tonight. Just hand off to the right guy, and this time he's going to hand the ball off to Sean McKee. Haven't called his number a whole lot, but McKee's going to pick up the first down for the Oilers as he goes right up the chute. They'll spot the ball down. It's going to be inside the 10. Looks like they're going to mark it at about the 5-yard line. Nope, they're going to call it the 7-yard. Okay, from the Tacoma 7, it'll be first and goal for the Oilers. They lead here 34-28, halfway through quarter number 4. As you look out at that huddle, you see the steam.
I was just seeing the same thing. It's a chilly fall night, isn't
no,
it?
No, Mom, we're not vaping. Hey, steam coming off. As in on the carry is Sean McKee, and he goes behind that huge offensive line and takes it in for the touchdown.
Big offensive line is right, featuring Jeffrey Martinez at 6'1", 255. Mark Vann, 6'2", 250. Curtis Hyde, 5'9", 230. Adam Newberry, 5'10", 250. And the large man, Mark St. Peters, at 6'7", 330 pounds.
So it is Sean McKee who punches the goal line from, what do we say, 7 yards out on that?
7 yards.
So his touchdown run increases that lead to 40-28. Each of the last 4 games, the winning team has scored more than 40 points. Weissman's going to run the 2-point conversion in, and it's good. So Weissman's 2-point conversion makes it 42-28 in favor of the Oilers. We'll be back with the East Dalton Wood River kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Well, they just keep marching up and down the field. And now it's Nakoma's turn as they're going to take the kickoff. Make a nice run back there as it is Adam Lyons who gets the ball out to about the 30-yard line. And so from their own 30, Nakomis will send their offense out on the field with 5:50 to go here in the fourth quarter. They've now trailed 42-28. Well, we talked about how Newberry is no longer, that is, Cody Newberry is no
Brody.
Longer with the Oilers, but they have replaced him with a core of running backs in the backfield, and they have really spread the wealth out tonight as Tassetti is running away from Hunter.
It's Hunter Morales.
Morales.
I don't blame him. Might be running too.
He's run out of bounds over on the far sideline at about the 31-yard line for a gain of 1, but he ran a long way to get that 1 yard. As we were saying, the Redskins now trailing. They're in not necessarily panic mode, but high gear mode as they're going to try to get the offense going through the air, get the yardage quickly, get a score to get back into this game. Going to be a down and out pattern run there by Trevor Wright, and the pass is incomplete, and that's going to bring up a 3rd and 9. Now the problem is when you go to that passing game, you have to make completions. Clock stops, that's good. 3rd and long, that's not. Tossetti looking over to the sideline to get the play. Well, as we said, Weissman has come up with a touchdown. Morales came up with a block punt for a touchdown. Weissman with another touchdown. Tossetti, or Reggie Newtall with another touchdown. Then Weissman with yet another. And then coming up with another touchdown is Sean McKee. So they've had several different receivers. Now long pass floats into the arms of the waiting receiver. That was Mason Stewart as he simply played center field. the defender got the ball down at the 35-yard line for a first and 10. What a play there by Stewart. From the Wood River 35, it'll now be a first and 10.
It's a 44-yard pickup.
I'd have to say that Weissman is filling the bill pretty well for the departed fullback there for the Oilers, Brody Newberry. Not saying they don't miss him, just saying they got somebody to come in and take his place who's doing an outstanding job as well. I heard some people talking about that this week, that they thought it would not be an issue through the regular season, but they were really going to miss the big boy come playoff time.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that Mr. Weissman has taken that to heart. Procedure call against the Redskins. Going to back the ball up to the 40-yard line. It'll be a first and 15 from the Wood River 40-yard line. We're down to 4:35 and counting. As Tocetti rolls back, now off to his left, throwing down over the middle, and the pass is going to be intercepted as the Oilers' defense comes up with a big play there. And that was Will Keith, and we've got a penalty flag down. We'll check out the flag, but Will Keith sure made a nice catch of that Tocetti pass. A holding call against Wood River is going to negate that.
It's going to be Tocetti's third interception on the night. 368 yards passing, but
no defensive holding.
Oh, they're going to call it on. Oh, I thought it was after the interception.
Yeah.
They're going to call it before the interception.
Well, I'm not sure of that. I just saw.
I was assuming it was on the return. The flag came out a little bit late then, but no, they're. No, all parts are coming back into place, offense and defense.
I believe you're right, though. I believe the holding call was after the interception. Yes. So the interception will stay intact. And how many did you say that is tonight?
That'll be three. That's three for Alex tonight. Going to balance off a 368 so far yard passing night, but three interceptions makes it tough to win a game.
So from their own 26 then, the Oilers will ramble up the middle as Damian Weissman will do the honors. He'll get the ball out near the 30-yard line and give him a gain of, about four. Let's call it second and six. So from the 30, the Oilers content now to run some of that clock off. They're going to take their time in the huddle as the play clock still has 15 seconds on it. The game clock has 3 minutes and 40 seconds on it. Will Keith, the wide receiver over here, he knows he's not going to get the ball. Instead, it's going to be a steady dose of Damian Weissman. The Weisman's going to take it up to the 35. And he's going to get another first and 10 for the Oilers. And Weisman's up to how many yards now?
That puts him at 97. And it seems like it ought to be more than that, but it's just been hard, hard yards, almost all between the guards. Not even between the tackles, between the guards. And just carrying black jerseys with him every time he runs the ball. But 97, I've got him at it for the game right now.
Well, one thing about it, he's got to have fresh legs if he played behind Brody.
That's true. That is a good point.
Newberry, for the first 7 or 8 weeks, is like, give me a chance, I'll show you what I can do. And doing is exactly what is happening here this evening. Hand off this time to Ryan Dawson. Dawson's going to get the ball out over the 40-yard line to the 42. He's going to pick up 7. That's going to bring up a second and 3. We're going to have a timeout on the field. As we take a timeout, we will too. You're listening to WSMI. As we return to live action, it'll be second and 3 for the Oilers from the 43-yard line. Coach talking over one of the linesmen. What do David Jenkins and Jennifer Graham have in common? Two things.
Well, one, outstanding Cardinal fans. So is that going to add one to it?
Three things.
Two, outstanding producers.
That's one. They're both producing our games tonight.
And number three,
they're both toasty warm and we're kind of cold.
Hey, it's not been too bad, though. The wind kind of died down. The rain quit.
This has really been excellent week eight football weather. As Weissman's going to get the carry, he's going to take the ball out over the 45-yard line. That's going to be enough for an Oiler first down. They'll move the chains, stopping the clock as they do so. Once they get the chains moved, they'll wind that clock up, and we'll go inside 2:50 to go in this one. And our scoreboard reads the East Dalton Wood River Oilers 42, the Nokomis Redskins 28. Looks like the Oilers are on their way to a conference championship. And, of course, they're hoping they make the playoffs, one, and two, that they don't draw Carlinville first round for the third year in a row.
Surely they're saying IHSA can't do that to us again. Surely.
I don't know who Shirley is, but I hope she does something better for the Oilers.
She's bring them a little luck.
Yeah, they deserve better, that's for sure, of course. Now on the run over on the far side, it's going to be Reggie Newtall. Newtall went off a right tackle, cut to the outside, headed down the sideline. You guessed it, they won't catch him today. A game that we thought was going to go down to the wire now is going in favor of the Oilers big time, as Newtall's touchdown makes it now 48-28, a 20-point game. That for 45 yards for Reggie Newtall. Most impressive, but he's not a Jedi yet.
No, and we talked about Bertie Newberry pulling down 320, 330 in that game against Alton Marquette. By my rough estimations, that puts them as a team at 342 right now. So they have effectively replaced that one outstanding running back just with a collage of different runners.
Running back by committee. The point after attempt is no good. And so with 220 left in this one, the Oilers have blown it open with yet another touchdown, this by Newtall, making it 48-28, Oilers over Redskins. Back with the East Dalton Wood River Oilers kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Reggie Newtall, with a 55-yard touchdown run, has given the Oilers a 20-point lead, and now the Redskins will return to kickoff out over the 30, close to the 40-yard line. As it was Lions on a return, making a nice return out of it. But Newtall completed a five-play drive, which covered 74 yards. He covers the last 55 yards for the touchdown. And that came with 2:20 to go here in the fourth quarter and gives the Oilers a 48-28 lead over the Redskins of Nokomis.
Gary, you may find it hard to believe, but Hunter Morales made the tackle on that kickoff. We don't keep tackle stats, and boy, I wish we had it, because Hunter Morales is racking them up like crazy.
Well, if I were keeping them, I'd probably just record the ones that he didn't make, because he's been in on most every play. Ooh, Tassetti, with an outstanding pass under duress, and he gets floored afterwards, and now a late penalty flag does indeed come out. I'm not sure if this is going to go for a roughing the passer, if it's going to go for an unsportsmanlike because of the fact that he didn't make the call. But in any event, a flag is down on the 25-yard line of the Redskins. The pass was incomplete. Personal foul, roughing the passer, is the call. And as we said, the flag came down a little bit late, but it was, I believe, the correct call.
Yes, absolutely. And it was clear. There were two Oilers there. Two of those good defensive linemen just got there, and it wasn't just late. It was very tardy, knocking Tassetti to the ground pretty roughly. So even though the flag came out late, it was not a difficult call.
It'll take the ball all the way out to the 49-yard line, where it'll be first and 10 for the Redskins. It was almost looked like it was one of those situations where I can't believe what I just saw.
Right. I couldn't believe it. There wasn't a flag.
Yeah.
And then he finally dug it out of his pocket and threw it.
So Nokomis at the 49-yard line, they will have a first and 10. Tassetti going to go out, drop back. Now he's going to roll off to his left. Look over there. Ooh. The official is not looking at the quarterback. Now the linesman over here is going to call it. While the official was watching the in the backfield, two guys who were having a bit of a skirmish, the lineman over here saw that the over on the far side, the quarterback got decked way late once again, and he's going up to explain to the referee, I've got your back, I've got that call. Pass went incomplete, but we're going to have another 15-yard penalty. I like this. Even though that official was not in the side of the play where it occurred, he had a good look at it. The official over on the far side, he was moving down the field with the play. The referee, as I said, he got preoccupied with activity in the backfield here, which you want him to watch that as well because there's activity there. But this linesman over on the near side, he makes the call, and I don't see any complaining from either side.
I don't either. They just cleared this whole right side of the field. The receivers all ran to the left. The line jumped on our near sideline. Really had nothing left to look at except into the backfield. So really outstanding job of officiating by a team that I've been fairly impressed with all night. They work really well together. I got a feeling they got a pretty good history together.
That will bring up a first and 10 for Nokomis from the 36-yard line of East Alton Wood River, and now we've got another flag. I think we may be having trouble with getting our connections together. Another procedure call will back the ball up to the 41 and make it a first and 15. And that's one thing Nokomis has shot themselves in the foot. We're inside the two-minute mark here in the fourth quarter, but, of course, our action isn't finished with this one. We got another one, right, Dan?
Absolutely. We got Tim and Carl are bringing the Carlinville versus
Staunton.
Carlinville-Staunton, Route 4. All those Route 4 battles, throw the records out the window. They're always great games.
We've had some good ones indeed. That's true. And we shall see what transpires tonight. Staunton Tosetti is running for his life. He throws the ball back, and I can't believe it, but somehow or another, Lyons was able to get close enough to it to make it a legitimate pass.
It was not going to make it back to the line of scrimmage by 10 yards, but Lyons did. Lyons came back and made a diving attempt, almost caught the ball. Luckily, he didn't, because it would have been a loss of 10 on the play, but at least kept him from an intentional grounding call.
And he will tell you, in the film station next week. Yeah, Coach, I didn't mean to catch that one. That's what I planned on doing.
But boy, I tell you what, he was making an awful good effort to dive and try to catch it. You know, but you got high school boys trying to make a play.
That'll bring up a second and 15. Ball resting on the Wood River 40-yard line. We've got a lineman who's jumping again, and it's going to be five more. And as Buddy Blattner would say, they're walking the wrong way. Takes it back to the Wood River 45, makes a second and 25. You get the feeling that both teams have just played their hearts out, and perhaps they've lost the concentration a wee bit here.
Yeah, and it's getting a little bit sloppy at this point with the late hits on the quarterback, the jumps by the offensive line by Nokomis, and it's been I think we're going to see a real show respecting this game, though. These two sets of kids have played hard and really battled each other, and I think this is going to end in a really good place. So.
Well, I've already noticed a few times where a guy's been knocked down, and then the guy that knocked him down goes and helps him get back up. This is a throw to Trevor Wright, and Wright's going to make the catch down inside the 35, down to about the 33-yard line, I believe. They'll mark it at 33. Going to be a gain of about 12. So that's going to bring up a third and still need about 8 yards to go. From the Wood River, 33. Got to quit stepping on my headphone cord here. Tosetti rolling out to the left, in trouble. Now he drops back. Pass is underthrown, but we got a penalty flag thrown up in the middle. The big boys have a little bit of fun away from the play there.
Well, it's hard to say. It might be downfield. Might have alignment over the line of scrimmage. Oh, no.
It's going to be a personal foul on the Redskins, and it had nothing to do with the play. It was right here on the other side of the pole, which I couldn't see exactly who was involved, nor would I care to say who it is anyway.
It was some.
My feeling is when you have a 250-pound lineman going after a 250-pound lineman as a 250-pound announcer, you don't want to say too much about either one of them.
So there's Twinkies to go around. That's what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah.
Well, his offensive lineman and defensive lineman got tangled up a little bit, and I think things just got a little bit a little bit too aggressive, but it was not anything that really stood out because we were looking through, right through that at where the ball was being thrown. So nothing really jumped off the field being obvious it happened. So
well, I'm going to call a third and 20 back at about the Wood River 46. Here they come on a run. They are after the quarterback. He eludes them. Now he'll throw long, high, and deep. It's going to be a jump ball. And who are they going to give it to?
I'm thinking there's a lot of Oilers running on the field. Thinking maybe an interception.
It would appear.
A lot of Oilers are trading places.
I believe on that play it was Reggie Newtall who came up with it. And on the interception, the Oilers are going to take over. They will do so. What about their own 15-yard line? Well, looks like they're calling it about the 12, so we'll call it the 12. From their own 12 then, the Oilers with a 48-28 lead in the final minute. They should be in victory formation now. Up under center, and yes, indeed, Beecham will take a knee. They will wind the clock. We'll go down inside 50 seconds. How about some stats here on the game?
Well, I'm just looking. You know, for the hometown, a lot to cheer about tonight. Alex DeSetti, the junior quarterback for the Redskins, was 17 for 29, 381 yards, had two touchdowns, but unfortunately four interceptions on the game. Leading the rushers, Ryan Jansen with 51 yards for the Redskins. Mason Stewart, 137 yards, and Trevor Wright with 100 yards receiving. For the visiting Oilers, Reggie Newtall led a 342-yard rushing attack by the Oilers with 177 yards, followed up closely with Damian Weissman with 100. Kerry Beecham did complete one pass for 3 yards, but again, the Oilers finding a way to replace that outstanding sophomore running back, Brody Newberry, with another 342-yard or close to 350-yard rushing night, statistically speaking, very balanced yards-wise. But and again, as I alluded to earlier, I think the difference in this game was the special teams. The Oilers' special teams, I think, made the difference in this game.
The guy wanting to be at the head of the line, he was at the head of the line all night long, and as they lined up to come across the midfield stripe and shake hands, Hunter Morales told the rest of the team, get in the line behind me. I'm going to lead the way to congratulate. And as you said, these two teams, they put it on the field tonight. They really went at it. They went toe to toe, and they left it all out on the field. And I think right now we're seeing the show of respect from these two teams that each one deserves. But, of course, in the final analysis, the East Dalton Wood River Oilers is going to come up with a 48-28 victory over the Nokomis Redskins. Of course, for the Redskins, that means that their overall season record drops to 4-4. And week 9, we'll see Nokomis taking on a 1-6 Pawnee team. As far as the East Dalton Wood River Oilers, their record improves to 5-3, and automatically, with a week 9 forfeit over South Mac, they will move on to 6-3, and they will be the Prairie State Conference champions this year. Final thoughts, Dan?
Really, just a back and forth game. There were several times, and it had to be frustrating for the Wood River Oilers, where it seemed like they delivered a knockout blow to the Redskins, but they just kept getting up off the canvas. They just kept coming back, mostly on the strength of Alex Tassetti's right arm, throwing some great passes both from inside the pocket and scrambling outside the pocket. His receivers doing an outstanding job of work hard and getting open. But again, I think the difference was a Hunter Morales-led defense as well as some special teams from the Oilers. And a well-fought, hard-fought game. But yet, just coming up on the short side with the Redskins.
Tosetti throws for 2 touchdowns, runs for another. His second touchdown pass coming at 8:54 of the fourth quarter, drew the Redskins to within 34-28. That is with his pass to Mason Stewart for the two-point conversion. And you really felt like then that the Oilers may have been stumbling just a bit and the Redskins might be able to take advantage of it. But lo and behold, 3 minutes later, the Oilers with a six-play, 40-yard drive. It was Sean McKee with his first touchdown of the night, extended that lead to 42-28. And then at the 220 mark, East Dalton Wood River strikes again, this time Reggie Newtall with a 55-yard touchdown run. Too much speed overall on the team for the East Dalton Wood River Oilers, and so they are victorious tonight. Our hats go off to the Oilers, who are the Prairie State Conference champions. They will be headed to the playoffs, and of course, as we said, for both of these teams, brighter days coming as they have a lot of outstanding young talent that'll be back not just for the rest of this year, but for the next year and in some cases the next 2 years. But for us, we're done from here at Nokomis High School tonight. It is 48-28, the East Dalton Wood River Oilers over the Nokomis Redskins. But we want to remind you that our broadcast night is not finished. We're just halfway done, as we will be bringing you the Carlinville-Staunton broadcast shortly here on WSMI FM 106. And, of course, both of these games are streamed online at WSMIRadio.com, thanks to our friends at Network One Sports. However, at this time, we want to take this opportunity to thank the fine folks here at Nokomis for their hospitality. And, of course, thanks to our sponsors who make these high school football games possible for us to bring to you. And, of course, thank you to you fans for listening in. Special thanks goes back to the studio, where David Jenkins and Jen Graham have been taking care of producing tonight's games. For Dan Newkirk, this is Gary Boker from Nokomis High School. One final time, our final score, East Dalton Wood River 48, Nokomis 28. Gary Boker saying so long from the gridiron.